Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
Mark, do we still have a special offer for our listeners?
We do, and I just want to let everybody know that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I give financial advice. As a disclaimer, we have a website, VR Trader, Victor Robert, VRTrader.com. We've been doing this so long, I can't remember. I think it was back in 1979 when we started the original volume reversal VR newsletter. So we do have a special offer for those who want to get some of our ideas and strategies in the market, and we put out a forecast model, for example, at the very beginning of the year, which pretty much predicted all that you're now seeing, so that's something you might want to subscribe to in the future. The promo code, if you go to VRTrader.com to get 50% off, is 2022 half off, 2022-HALFOFF. Thank you for mentioning it.
Mark, is the U.S. dollar the hottest ticket in town? Is it the only thing that's positive these days?
Well, that's a good question. It's tough finding stocks that are in big uptrends. Some of the lithium stocks were doing well, and they pulled back. A couple of the EV stocks like Rivian, R-I-V-I-A-N, that's the name of the company, ticker symbol R-I-V-N, has been moving up, coming out of a big decline. Tesla's actually been recovering a little bit. Twitter's been holding, I guess, on the spec that the deal may still go through at some point. You know, there are a few exceptions here and there. The solar stocks are acting okay in the last couple of days, though they start to get soft. Of course, they've had a huge run. So, the pickings are slim right now as the market's in this treacherous September-October period. But I keep thinking, you know, there's a lot of manipulation in the market. We've got the plunge protection team out there. We've got a desperate Democratic Party that wants to keep the House and the Senate. And what rabbit are they going to pull out of their hat here to try to get the market to rally perhaps between now and November? And that's all speculation on my part. Are they suddenly going to change their tune about energy and open up the Keystone Pipeline or do something crazy just because that gets votes? Mob shenanigans, but even our negative models say, you know, at some point you're going to get a rally. History says after some September, October low, you get some type of bounce, and of course that would tie in nicely with this election in early November. So a lot of things to watch. You know, gold's been underperforming despite the inflation, which I think is going to be a lot greater. I mean, they came out with a report during the week was 8.5% year to year, and of course we had that big decline on turnaround Tuesday this past week with the Dow down about 1,300 points. So you know, there's a lot of, you know, negative stuff out there, and, you know, we just have to sort of deal with it until the air clears here. But my feeling is, you know, inflation's not going away, and, they keep putting up pictures on TV, on CNBC and other places of Paul Volcker, like he's the hero of breaking inflation. I remember I met Paul Volcker, very briefly back in 1987 when I was doing, some fundraising for a mutual fund project, and, the guy's really big. I mean, he must have been almost like 7 feet tall. I mean, he was a huge man, but he's sort of the hero now. But if you remember the hero, what did he do? He drove interest rates up to 20%. So, is that what's going to happen? And my gut feeling, inflation is not going away, and this 8.5% could end up being a conservative number, and how he's going to react or others are going to react if it continues to go up, even though you see crude oil backing off a little bit and so forth. But, you know, it could go way up there again. I mean, we could have some really nasty interest rates, and I don't think that's the answer. I mean, I think the Fed should be abolished. I think they caused this whole thing. They've caused, 8 or 9, serious recessions during the last 100 years. As I mentioned previously,
Bob Hoy, our market historian, says the Fed has caused at least 18 and most likely 19 recessions, if we're currently in one, since it was invented.
Well, I thought it was 8, so it was 10 more than I remember.
Yeah. Well,
but you know, what does that mean? I mean, you know, they're incompetent. Everybody relies on them. You can look at history. You can't compare apples to apples here. But, Andrew Jackson, when he was president of the U.S. back in the mid-1800s, he abolished the national bank. He paid off the debt. We need just to abolish the institution because it creates a lot of problems. And, of course, a lot of problems are the Congress and the legislature. You may have that same thing in Canada where the National Bank may be trying to rein things in, but everybody likes to spend money, and that's what they're doing here in the U.S. So you've got two parts of the government working in two opposite directions, and the Democrats in particular are liars, and they call an act a disinflation act when it's really an inflation act, and it's just a mess, you know. So what, you know, things, I don't know, I think... you know, we're going to get some rallies, and maybe they'll pull some rabbit out of the hat, but I can see inflation much, much higher, and the ability of government to really control it not really going to happen because of the diverging activities of the government. So anyway, this got to take a day at a time. We're traders. It's what VR Trader is about, and we try to do our best here to eke out some money, but I don't see any bull market coming so fast. So they'll keep talking about value, buying stocks that you like, dollar cost averaging, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm going to make a statement here, which is sort of crazy, but, you know, my gut feeling, and this is from the beginning, you know, we could see the S&P having lost 80% of its value by the time this is all over. And that could be, you know, whether that's 6 months from now or for 3 years from now. So, you know, that's a huge number to the downside compared to where we're at right now. And, you know, will we lose 15% to 20% maybe during this whole correction? So things could, you know, war in Europe, Putin's meeting with President Xi now in Uzbekistan, if I pronounced it correctly. We got a lot of stuff, you know, the cream puff's going to hit the fan, Jim. I don't think it's anywhere near the end of the problem, but we'll trade it. You know, we'll see how it unfolds.
Well, Mark, that what makes you the permanent optimist, because I've never heard you ever say, well, gee, you know, the stock market's going down, you can't make money, because you're experienced enough, you know where to find the little nooks and crannies. Perhaps people should be subscribing to your newsletter to take advantage of that experience.
Right. I mean, we're making money in the inverse ETFs, for example. You know, we trade them, but we were short the total stock market index. We're long, you know, five or six inverse ETFs. So, you know, they do the same thing as the positive ETFs. They go with the trend of the market. So you just reverse your position. Instead of buying the S&P, buy the inverse S&P. And, you know, they always go down faster than they go up, like we saw this past Tuesday with the 1,300 points. And, you know, we jumped in that morning, and we made little money there, like 2-3% in one day, you know, on the hypothetical portfolio that we put out for our listeners and so forth. So yeah, I mean, that's what we're trying to do. We try to catch some individual names that are moving here and there, and it's fun. That's what gets us up in the morning here when the horses come out of the gate.
Mark, your advice always would be never invest more than you can afford to lose, right?
Well, you always have to trade what you can afford to lose. I always said, if you're going to trade the market, now this is different from those who are long-term investors who just want to hold the S&P and the Dow for, you know, 30 years or whatever, because over time they do tend to come back. We've seen that, you know, all the way back from the crash in 1929 forward. If you live long enough and you're patient enough and you're young enough, you're in good shape there. But as a general rule, if you're trading, you should trade from a position of complacency. In other words, a small enough position that it doesn't affect you or you really care about. So if that's $1 or $100,000, whatever that number is, it's a number you should be in if you're active in the market.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit, Mark, do you think natural gas is going to be a super hot commodity going into this winter if Russia continues to put the squeeze on European natural gas?
Yes, that should be the case unless they come to some type of deal or there's some type of peace settlement or they do something, you know, to finagle the political situation over there. I mean, at the moment it doesn't seem that's going to happen, but, you know, the charts say we started a correction, we bounced a little bit. And even though I'm a long-term bull on the energy, you know, with all the political activity and war activity and elections and stuff going on right now, you know, anything could happen. But as a trader, you just got to be careful because they could take crude oil or natural gas down temporarily and then take it up again later. So the natural response is with what's going on in Europe. I think in Switzerland, I read some story this morning to the effect that you can't use your electricity or you'll be imprisoned or something, you know, or for a certain amount of days or whatever. You're limited to what you can do with the power. I mean, some crazy stuff's going on over there, and all could have been avoided, but, you know, you have idiots in Germany who ban nuclear power and decide that alternate energy can solve all the world's problems without planning, which is more of our problem here in the U.S. and Canada, where we want to convert to EV, but really are not capable of doing it because we don't have the infrastructure.
Well, Switzerland is hydroelectric dependent, and I saw a story where their glaciers that supplied that water are retreating and drying up, so they don't have endless hydro anymore.
And, you know, solar and wind is not going to solve it either. You know, unfortunately, nuclear has that negative connotation, you know, after Chernobyl and the Japanese experience in the last decade, and but there are safer plants now, and, you know, the way I look at it is if nuclear carriers and submarines can run internally on nuclear power and never come to port, you know, and of course spaceships and others are employing that now, you know, we have a solution, and it's unfortunately it takes about 10 years or more to get with permits and everything to get a plant up, so we may have a lot of dark winters or cold winters going forward in Europe.
Now, I know we like to talk about geocosmic events. You had two things you wanted to bring up today.
Well, there's a great, you know, article that had come out, and, you know, basically the question raised is who benefits from the U.S. government claims that the UFO threat is increasingly and exponentially dangerous. I mean, basically, they're warning us that they haven't been able to figure this out. And why is a statement made in there? In other words, they are saying there's a threat. And, you know, you could say, well, it's all nonsense. You don't believe any of it. They're just trying to raise money, you know, for military purposes. And this is how they scare Congress or people to put more money into military operations in space. You know, of course, Donald Trump created the Space Force. But, you know, Ronald Reagan also believed in that, you know, when he created the satellite system, or he proposed that system.
Star Wars,
right, back in the late 80s and so forth. So there is a belief that, you know, there's a reason we need to be out there besides just the fact that, you know, we want to defend ourselves from China or Russia and so forth. But we already know this craft can't, you know, is really unidentified. And there was another very interesting article, which I just saw today. It may be a couple of days older, but basically there was a story that came out that in Ukraine, they've been tracking these UFOs. The astronomers there, there's tons of UFOs over Kiev, and that just came out. And basically they don't know what it is. It's the same story. It doesn't conform to normal, you know, aeronautical items, you know, in terms of speed and change of direction and so forth. So it was a whole article just about that they track these things using these high-tech cameras. So, you know, what is this? You know, is this a weapon that we have, some secret weapon? Is it a Russian weapon? Is it a extraterrestrial? Is it stuff that was reverse engineered from alien craft or just something we came up with on our own? So anyway, the big question is, and the conclusion I came to, and this is just mine, and I, you know, I try to explore all kinds of possibilities, but if the military is saying that these are threats and so forth and so on, at some point, you know, since we have so many sociopaths in government and we've seen that already here in the U.S., and I think we can cite a couple in Canada, a false flag operation could be created. In other words, it could be disguised as an extraterrestrial attack or something of that nature to scare people, and something, you know, like this could be staged for the reasons of raising capital, for military operations, to subdue the public, as much as we saw happen during COVID, where, you know, you give the government an inch and they take a foot, so it's a way of controlling population. So there's something going on here, and I wouldn't be surprised that something is staged. I don't think aliens are attacking the planet. You know, my feeling is about aliens, they've been here for thousands of years. There's evidence, you know, in all the archaeological records of visitors from the sky. You can go back all the way to the Sumerians. You can go look in all kinds of cultures all over the planet. So there's a lot of, you know, we can talk hours and hours about that subject. So I'm not concerned about that. There's no question there's extraterrestrial life in the universe, and many of them may have come here or still be here for all I know. But we do have this high technology, and whether we got it by just because we have some smart people like an Einstein out there or a Elon Musk who create things, and or, you know, Edison, any of the great inventors, Tesla and so forth, and we're just smart people and we created this, or whether like occurred in Roswell, New Mexico, where a craft was recovered and some aliens were supposedly in there and we reverse engineered it, and Area 51 and other places, one in England, in fact. I forget the name of the manor. It's in England. Supposedly another secret operation going on, whether that really happened. But, it's a major story. It's not nothing, because if the military is saying we have a UFO threat, how are they going to dismiss that threat? And what are they going to use with that information? And are they going to try to be honest with us, which has been never the case? Or is it something they're going to stage something for their own gain? So we already see it. Look at the sociopaths we have in the government now creating a bill in Congress, you know, to hire 80,000 IRS agents with guns. You know, this is like the brown shirts in Nazi Germany, you know. So we have sociopaths in government. I'm sure they're in military. So we have to be, you know, we're under attack. You know, the public is under attack in one way or another, financially, physically. We saw what happened with COVID. So we have to be on our P's and Q's here. And how is this all going to relate to the markets? Well, I don't know. If they stage some type of false flag operation, I don't think the stock market would like that very much. Markets don't like uncertainty. So that's one way to get the Dow down 80%, you know, say there's an alien attack on the planet, even though it's not happening. It's real interesting times, Jim. So it's fun thinking about this stuff.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Have a great day.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitz, editor and publisher of the Leibovitz VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on BitChute at Talk Digital Network. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you very much for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.